Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Slareth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Matt Smith in for Mike Evans. Happy Friday. Happy Rockies home opener. What a happy affair that is. All right, first up in Four Down Territory, the Avalanche last night, 5-2 winners over the Minnesota Wild. They beat him on the ice, and they left a parting gift on their way out.
I haven't seen it. I heard he's got beef with a few guys, so that's a good one. I like whoever did that.
Do you know who's car it is?
Yeah.
I bet.
Yeah.
Keep it quiet.
I don't know who did it.
Oh, gotcha.
I couldn't even snitch on the guy. I don't know who did
it. So Brandon Duhaime, one of the new Avs acquired at the trade deadline, obviously acquired from Minnesota, goes back to Minnesota for the first time last night to play his old team. And during morning skate, everybody shows up, and Marc-Andre Fleury, who plays for the Minnesota Wild, his car is completely covered in like 27 rolls of toilet paper. Well, come to find out that Brandon Duhaime wanted to say hi to his old buddy. Apparently, they were engaged in a prank war the entire time that Duhaime was in Minnesota with Fleury. And so he showed up naturally, and he TP'd his car.
Right. Good for him.
You ever have any of those moments?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Once you could talk about.
Yeah, but the stories are so... We'll get into it. We'll do a story time with Stink. Best prank.
Oh, I love it.
The best pranks I've ever pulled.
All right, we'll bookmark. All right, we'll bookmark it. Avalanche back in action tonight against the Oilers. I liked the game last night, Mark. Important after the loss against Columbus. You know, last week they lost to Montreal, two of the worst teams in the league. Important to bounce back because, look, this is a dogfight here down the stretch. They've got the toughest remaining schedule in the Western Conference. They've got Edmonton twice. They've got Vegas, Winnipeg, Minnesota. I mean, this is no joke here headed down the stretch.
Yeah, no question. It's great. Hey, listen, man, it's almost works in their favor because they're still working. They're still figuring out, you know, what they have in the trade acquisition, working Val back into the lineup. Like, it's good to have teams that are actually good, are actually playoff teams, where that provides the juice at the end of the season when you don't have a lot of juice, right?
Right.
While you're waiting for the playoffs, right? This is the lull. This is the calm before the storm. And to have opponents that provide that little bit of juice. Like, Duhaime was great last night against his former team, the Wild.
Right.
Why? Because there's some juice there, right?
Sure.
You want to compete. There's nobody you want to beat more than your old buddies, right?
Right. Right.
So it creates that. It creates that kind of atmosphere.
The Avs right now sitting second place in the Central at 102 points, three behind Dallas and four ahead of Winnipeg. So as it stands right now, most likely a first-round matchup with Winnipeg in the cards. We'll see how these final few games finish out.
Second down.
Well, the Nuggets were also in action last night, and it went down to the wire. Nikola Jokic got basically the same exact shot that he hit to beat Golden State at the buzzer much earlier this season. Unfortunately, this one rattled in and out, but Michael Malone didn't stick around to see it.
Look at Michael Malone.
Talking at Josh Timmons.
He thought that Michael Porter Jr. got fouled on that three-point attempt by Zubac.
That's technical number two, and he's out. No, two quick ones. There was no way he was walking off that floor without getting caught.
Yeah, he's going to get his money's worth right now.
That's a really impressive amount of time between Tech 1 and Tech 2, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just enough to drop a couple of F-bombs.
Oh, it's exactly what he did, right in his face, too.
Yeah.
You know, blank you, and you guys, blank all you guys. And, it was an early night for Michael Malone. He's there's been a lot of rage timeouts lately. We see that last night.
Yeah.
He felt slighted.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I know there are some people, you know, our own Jake Shapiro on DenverSports.com has a piece detailing how the Nuggets got jobbed. But I don't know. MPJ kind of kicked the leg out on a three-point attempt. Malone thought that his landing space was invaded. Mm-hmm. He got upset. L.A. kind of got a cheapy call at the other end. Bam, bam, tech, tech. You're out of here. Are we at all concerned about Malone's, I don't know, temperature level at the moment?
No, because I think Malone is bringing some of the intensity that he knows his players don't have.
Mm.
Toward the end, like you said, 82 games. Come on, guys. They're like, we know what it is to be a champion. We know what we need to do as champions. We know that we're resting Murray so he could be fresh and ready to roll come playoff time. Like, we're just kind of going through, as players, we're just trying to get to the end. We see the finish line. We're trying to get to the end. And Malone is saying, well, let me provide some of the fire for you guys. Let me get after it. I think there's a psychology to coaching, and I think Michael Malone is pushing that button right now.
I agree with you, right? No Jamal Murray for the seventh consecutive game, and we learned a few years ago what this Nuggets team is without Jamal Murray. They're just not the same team.
Right.
And even still, they almost beat L.A. in L.A. Now, Kawhi Leonard didn't play last night, but I think this is just a good representation of something that we've known and why Michael Malone said, what, a month ago now, we're not going to prioritize the one seed over health. The Nuggets have to have everybody and all their guys if they're going to repeat.
Right.
I mean, that goes without saying, right?
Everybody says, every national broadcast, whether it's, you know, Van Gundy, whether it's Reggie Miller, whoever the case may be, I don't care who it is, every one of them, to a man, and even the players in the NBA, will say, starting five, there's nobody that compares to the Nuggets. When their starting five are out there, they are the best starting five in basketball. And that goes, I mean, it's high praise, but everybody is on board with that. There's not one person I have heard anywhere that hasn't said that same thing. So when they don't have their starting five, you know what? They're not the best. They just aren't.
Third down.
Well, Jokic gave high praise to DJ Burns of NC State, who has become the March Madness darling. And DJ Burns said it's one of the coolest things that's ever happened to him.
Jokic, when he said that was pretty cool, you know, being as someone that's kind of opened the door for us to be able to get back to where, you know, that level.
What did he say to you again?
He was just talking about me being skilled and being a good teammate and everything like that, which is two things I try to hold myself to.
I'm surprised that Jokic even knew what college basketball was, if I'm being quite honest with you.
Yeah.
But DJ Burns, of course, the big man for NC State. The Final Four is this weekend on Saturday, 4 o'clock here local, 11-seeded NC State, 1-seeded Purdue, and then the nightcap, Alabama, 4-seeded at 1-seeded UConn.
Yeah. The DJ Burns thing is interesting to me because there's been a lot of NFL teams that have, like, basically wanted to take a flyer on it.
Right.
Like, they want him to do
a pro day.
Yeah, like a pro day. And it'd be interesting to see. And there's been, you know, we've seen that with the tight end position. A lot of guys that were former basketball players that went and got recruited and became football players. I've seen it with a couple offensive tackles. George Fant was Seattle, and I don't know where he is right now. But he's been a part-time starter kind of swing. He was a former basketball player that converted to offensive tackle. The Seahawks kind of, you know, gave him his opportunity. So it does happen. And DJ would be interesting. He'd be big 6'8", 9'10", whatever he is.
He came out yesterday, said he absolutely not. 0% chance that he would have any. He's never played football, being that big.
Yeah.
It would be interesting, though. No question about it. There's no question about it.
1, 2, 3. Fourth down.
Rockies opening day today. Peanuts or Cracker Jacks, Mark? Quite simply.
Peanuts. If I go to a baseball game, I have to have peanuts over anything else. Got to have my peanuts.
Over a tornado or was it a Rocky dog?
Yeah. And I like a hot dog. I like to... You know, I like to eat a couple of hot dogs or whatever.
Now, do you throw the shells off the guy's back who's sitting in front of you?
Yeah, I throw the shells right on the ground. Like, it just adds to the ambiance.
It does, doesn't it?
You're stepping on shells. You get shells on the bottom of your shoes. Yeah, absolutely.
In what other circumstance are you eating peanuts in your daily life?
I'm not.
Cracking open some shells. Maybe like a barbecue joint. Baseball game.
Yeah, those where they have the big thing of peanuts or like Five Guys burgers and fries.
There you go.
While you're waiting for your burger, they got peanuts there.
Right, and then you get your fries and they're way too soggy and greasy and then you're like, I might as well just eat these peanuts.
Yeah, I like the peanuts there too. So yeah, those are the places where I eat peanuts.
Lessons to be learned. That wraps up for Four Down Territory. Lessons to be learned for the Broncos by looking at their neighbors.
That's, you know what? That statement I just made is one that you have to have really good enunciation. One of the places where I eat peanuts. You got to really, really enunciate
that. Is that right?
Yeah.
You worried that might have gotten lost in translation.
I slurred right through it, and I thought to myself, you know,
well, why don't we clip it? We'll take a listen on the other side. Matt Smith in for Mike Evans alongside Mark Schlereth.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Whoa. On the text line, 303-713-1043. BravoSlaw.com text line. Matt Smith in for Mike Evans alongside Mark Schlereth. Yeah, I definitely heard it, Mark. Might want to work on your enunciation.
Yeah.
Remember, folks, if you're saying peanuts, just make sure you're sounding out every letter and all the vowels and syllables.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark learned that lesson the hard way.
I get slurry, you know. I just keep going. I want to talk fast.
Yeah, he said it from another texter.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, you live and you learn, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Hey, I want to talk about the Broncos with you. You and I haven't had a chance to really dive into this here lately. I'm curious to know where you're at with where you want them to go in the draft and all of that. But before we get to that, and we will a little bit later, what can the Denver Broncos learn from looking across the street at the Nuggets and the Avs? Because it strikes me that for all intents and purposes, all right, maybe they've got some capital invested in the offensive line, so maybe they're not starting all the way from square one, but maybe it's like square one and a half that they're starting. I mean, this is basically a rebuild if they want to go that direction.
Yeah,
they can go wherever they want. So I'm curious, looking across the street at two teams that built it organically, went through the fiery crucible, lost in the playoffs several different times, and eventually got to the mountaintop, what can the Broncos learn from looking across the street?
Well, I think one, you have to understand the importance of chemistry and the importance of playing for one another. And that is something to me that has been missed here for quite some time. So you have to draft and develop the right players, but yeah, I say this all the time, and whether it's on this show or whether I'm out, doing a corporate event or whatever the case may be, culture is alive. It's not static. It's alive and it's constantly moving and evolving and changing. Like it's always moving, and therefore it's something that has to be worked on a day-to-day basis. There's a reason that Michael Malone has had some. Just angry timeouts and getting kicked out and doing some of those things. Like, you have to be able to play for one another. I think the other thing that is very apparent by those two teams is the importance of drafting and developing your people. Mm. And that's something the Broncos over the last 8 seasons have tried to fix it.
Right.
By going out and finding somebody else's
shortcuts.
Else's injury, somebody else's garbage, somebody else's problem, somebody else's whatever, and think that I'm going to bring him into my organization and we're going to fix it. So that, it's the thing I said about the trade for Stephon Diggs. Like, if everywhere you go it smells like crap, it's probably you. Like, there's a reason that guy keeps wearing out his welcome in Minnesota, in Buffalo. Next, it'll be in Houston. And those guys ultimately may be productive, may be exciting, may be great, but ultimately you don't win championships with guys that play that way, or that, if you go 3 games in a row and you get 3 victories, but you're not involved in those victories, the running game is great, the tight end gets the majority of that, whatever it is, you're not happy. And then you become that issue in the locker room that everybody has to walk on eggshells, or everybody has to come by and mama catch you and, right. Oh, it's going to be okay. Like, I don't have time for those people in my organization. And that's why it's really important to me to build it from the inside, to build it that way.
Yeah, I like that. I've been playing with this concept a little bit. And clearly, I think it's just natural. I mean, look across the street and at least do a case study of what worked for those guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are starting a rebuild. You can go whatever direction you want to go with this.
Right.
I came up with four categories that I think they can really take away, and you basically touched on all of them. You touched on culture, clearly. Uh-huh. Well, I think that's a byproduct, certainly, of draft and develop, which right. I consider cornerstones. Find your corner. Who are the Broncos' cornerstones?
Right.
I got one, and maybe two.
Pat Surtain.
And maybe Miners if they lock him up.
Yeah, I think Miners has become a really outstanding player. You know, the consistency aspect, I love the fact that Miners will just come off the ball and try to shorten people's necks. One thing I talked to him about a couple years ago was just cleaning up the mental mistakes. And I think he's done that. I think he's cleaned those up. But that's something you've got to consistently work on. And as he grows and he sees more things and he becomes more and more comfortable having that vocal, you know, being that vocal kind of leader up front, you know, that's going to be very important, especially now that you're going to a new center. It's going to be very important for Miners. So those are things that I'm still seeing growth-wise. But I agree with you. That guy, I really like his game.
All right, let's put a pin in this. We'll get back to it near the top of the hour because I want to talk about the draft. And look, there's some interesting comments from Bo Nix and Spencer Rattler we need to get to as they relate to the Denver Broncos. It is also opening day for the Rockies. Nuggets and Avs in action last night. On the other side, though, Mark, what's trending? And you are somebody I know who loves to troll the haters. Uh-huh. You love playing the heel, especially online. I see it all the time. Right. Well, last night, dare I say, the greatest heel of all time? Made a great speech, and I'm curious, you're going to grade it on a 1 to 10 heel scale.
Okay.
That's next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
What is trending? Matt Smith in for Mike Evans alongside Mark Schlereth. Good morning. Happy Friday. Happy home opener. First up in What's Trending, Mark, I know you love being the heel.
Sure.
I know you love trolling different fan bases. I see it all the time on social media. Well, last night, one of the best to ever do it, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, stopped by an event in Philly. Now, The Rock showed up an hour and a half late, and this is how he greeted Philadelphia fans.
You're booing because The Rock was a little late. Is that why you were booing? Why was The Rock late? You want to know? You want to know why The Rock was late? Are you sure? You want to know why The Rock was late? He was watching YouTube, watching Jalen Hurts lose in the playoffs again.
Whole crowd of Philly fans, everybody flipping him the bird. That is elite level heel play right there.
Yeah, that is good. I've mixed it up with Philly fans over the years quite a bit.
I thought that was great.
I actually, they're one fan base that I actually have a lot of respect for.
Why is that?
Well, because, like,
passion.
They're passionate, and they will flip and hate on their team so fast.
Right.
So they may hate you. But if you're right about what you're saying about their team, they'll hate you, but they'll hate the Eagles with your whatever. With they hating you at the same time, they'll hate you, but you're right, and so we're with you on this one. Yeah, it just is like Giant fans to me are softer than microwave butter. Yeah, there's a lot of fan bases that are really, they act the tough guy, but they're really soft, so... Anyhow, I actually have some respect for Philly fans.
I'm not a big wrestling guy, admittedly, but The Rock's full heel turn to go back to what he used to be in his full glory right now. He's on one right now. Yeah. It is absolutely entertaining to me. Hey, Rockies fans, it always get worse. If you're headed down to the home opener. The A's fans who did that this year, it'll be the last time. We found this out from Oakland A's owner John Fisher yesterday.
We're excited to be here for the next 3 years, playing in this beautiful ballpark, but also being able to watch some of the greatest players in baseball, whether they be athletics players or Aaron Judge and others, launch home runs out of this very intimate, the most intimate ballpark in all of Major League Baseball.
Gotta love the sales pitch when you say, no, no, no. Look, I mean, yeah, sure, A's players. I can't really think of one right now.
But A's players. I don't have any of their names. I don't know any of the guys that play for me.
None of them.
But I do know Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge will be here. You guys like Shohei Ohtani?
Yeah.
He'll play here. So the A's are moving to Sacramento for the next 3 years. They're going to play at a 14,000-seat stadium. No seats in the outfield. It's going to be like spring training. All-grass outfield, the home of the Sacramento Rivercats.
What happens to the Rivercats? Do they get,
drowned? I don't know.
They just get displaced
just bumped. Or do they play the A's? And this turns out to be like a Savannah Banana thing for the next 3 years.
Or are the A's actually
surprise.
The Rivercats? Yeah,
surprise.
Right, surprise. We are the Rivercats.
We are a AAA team.
Yes.
So, yeah, it could always get worse, Rockies fans. You may not love ownership. They may spend, but never in the right places. They may only hire from within. But at least they're staying.
It is. Oh, you know what? You just spurred a thought. How many AAA teams do you think could
beat the Rockies?
Play the Rockies in like a 4-game set and beat them?
I think it'd be disturbingly closer than you think. I really do.
I think there's a lot of AAA teams that would
give them a run for it.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're still, you know, professional baseball players, but I'll tell you what. What's Chris Bryant now, 2-for-50 to open the season?
I think he's 2-for-2-for, I don't know, 2-for, he was...
I think it's 50. At least 55, maybe 60. Or have we not played enough games yet?
He was like 2-for-20, 2-for-18.
Sounds about right.
But you go back to last year, he started with the 0-for-18 that he started with, and then he was 0-for-10 at the end of last season when he played. So he started... If you compile, it was 0-for-28 before he got his first hit.
He is supposed to play today unless he stubs his toe getting out of bed.
Yeah, you never know.
Well, tonight is the women's Final Four, and after the numbers came back from last weekend's Iowa-LSU matchup, the most watched women's college basketball game of all time, it outdrew all the World Series, all the NBA Finals except for Game 5, the NHL playoffs, all of college football except for one game this year. Here's Caitlin Clark yesterday at her media availability speaking in Cleveland.
People didn't really ever think we would get to the Final Four, and now to be here back-to-back times is amazing. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, people aren't going to remember how many points I scored. People aren't going to remember, you know, people may remember that we were in the Final Four twice, but people aren't going to remember, like, my buzzer-beating shots versus whoever. Like, that's not going to matter to people in the end. I hope they remember, you know, how we made them feel, how we brought joy to their lives, how we gave their families something to scream about on the TV on the weekends. You know, I hope those are the biggest things that people remember. I hope, you know, all the young boys and girls remember the joy that we played with and how we took 10 seconds of our time to sign their autograph and that inspired them to, you know, be whatever they want to be. I think that goes for, like, I think I'm speaking for our entire team, and, you know, that's what we're kind of the most proud of, the way we've carried ourselves through this entire process. And I think that's additionally allowed us to have so much success on the court, is just the team and the family that we've built over the past 4 years. And that speaks to the way Coach Bluder has built this program. Like, this, there's been a lot of really good Iowa women's basketball players to come before us and give us a foundation to, you know, maybe take another step forward.
Paige Beckers tonight of UConn and Caitlin Clark, they're going to square up. But I'll just say, I mean, what an incredible month. But really, for the most part, last couple of years. But this last month for the women's game, Mark, it's brought it to the main stage.
Well, she talked about, and this is an interesting question, because she talked about, like, what they've done, how they've signed autographs, the way they've carried themselves, and all those things are great. You know, that's kind of their quote-unquote legacy. But for Caitlin Clark, and she's going to go down as, you know, the greatest scorer of NCAA college basketball, men and women, and all that stuff that she's accomplished, and it's been amazing. But does she need a national championship to really cement her college career?
Probably. I think probably. I mean, look, she took a team that probably didn't have any business being in the title to the title last year.
Right.
If she does it again, that'll be extremely impressive, because you got a really good UConn team you're going to have to beat tonight. But I think if you want to go down and at least be in the conversation, greatest women's basketball players ever, if she's not already, for the folks who say you need to win, for the Jay Williams world who aren't ready to call her great because she hasn't won yet, yeah, you probably do.
Think about this. Think about what they're going to have to defeat. I mean,
I know.
Like, you already beat LSU, right?
Right.
The defending national champion.
You already beat CU.
You got to go through you're going to have to go through Connecticut. And then on the other side of the bracket, right, in Dawn Staley's South Carolina team on
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
That I think they're undefeated, right? So, dude, this is
like a gauntlet.
This is a total gauntlet. So if she ends up winning a national championship with her teammates, that's saying something. I don't know. It's pretty cool. It was fun. It was appointment TV for me last week watching LSU, watching them.
NC State, South Carolina tonight at 5, tonight at 7, UConn and Iowa. That is actually at the same time the Avs and Oilers drop the puck. So a couple of screens will mm-hmm. be going on tonight.
Sure.
At least in my household. When we get back, I want to continue our conversation because the Broncos are basically starting a rebuild right now. Whether or not they're going to come out and say it directly, we've got eyes. We're paying attention here. But for the Broncos looking across the street, is there anything they can take to maybe get them there a little quicker? We'll dive into it next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Oh, that's funny. That is good stuff. Matt Smith in for Mike Evans. Good morning. Happy Friday. Should be a beautiful day. Was it going to be like 74? I was reading, though. That is true. We do have a bleeder here. Mark
I blew my nose and both nostrils started bleeding.
Yeah, I mean, who among us? Right? Who among us hasn't had that happen?
I've got
before?
The left one under control right now. The right one is still flowing a little bit.
Do we
the
need some
one?
More tissue? I mean, I see you no, got some dude wipes over there.
Yeah, I got dude wipes.
Do dude wipes some. Also work for nosebleeds?
Sure.
Sure.
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
No. He made himself bleed his own blood. So it's supposed to be high near 77 today in Denver, but wind gusts apparently as high as 38 miles an hour. So it should be breezy. Now, hopefully for the Rockies, it's blowing from home plate to the outfield, so they got a chance to, you know, score some runs today.
Well, have you watched our pitching?
Well,
I mean, it could.
Austin Gomber, fly ball pitcher.
He's a fly ball
fly
pitcher.
Fly ball pitcher.
On a windy day with the wind blowing out, you don't want to be a fly ball pitcher.
Not at all. A couple of texts here on the Ramoslaw.com text line. 303-713-1043. Jeez, did Caitlin Clark take press conference notes from Russell Wilson?
All right, well, the only difference was she was actually sincere.
That is true. That is true. She was genuine.
Yeah, she was actually sincere. She was not robotic. She's a good... I appreciate her. I like the way she talked about her teammates and some of the things that they've been able to accomplish.
I agree with you. I mean, she was talking about, look, her legacy is going to be signing the autograph for kids and all the memories that she gave to families. Mm-hmm. I will say, you know, you go and you watch videos of her warming up and you see like little girls in the stands just watching her, idolizing her. That stuff is cool. That stuff is really cool. And now it's more mainstream. There's no doubt.
Yeah, there's no question. And the numbers the girls are drawing right now,
they're more than the men. Oh. Except for the Elite Eight game there. I mean, all year long, the women's game has been outdrawing the men's game. NC State and Duke drew 15.3 or something like that. And then the Iowa-LSU game, 12.3. College basketball is in a good place right now. Is it just me or Mark isn't as punchy as I was expecting for Friday after a late Avs-Nuggets night?
Well, here's the deal. I got to be honest with you guys. The daylight say I'm like a dog. So the daylight saving, you know how your daylight saving time changes and the dog wants to eat an hour early?
Okay.
Right? They don't really get the daylight saving time. I've been up my clock, my body
all my
clock.
Dogs get daylight savings time.
They get it?
Yeah, they get it.
The dogs I had never got it.
Okay.
I got dumb dogs. But for me, I've been staying up, like normally I'm hunkering down around 8, 8:30, lights out, sleep by 9. I've been up at 10, 11 the last however many nights. Last night, I hunkered down to watch the Nuggies, and I got deep into the right before halftime, and the next thing I know, I woke up, and the game was over, and the TV was still on.
There you go.
One of those deals.
Yeah.
So I fell asleep fairly right around 9-ish last night, and then I'm always up early, so I ended up checking out the last part in the last quarter of the game. You know, it was recorded. So anyhow, so that's kind of my...
So you didn't watch the game, you watched it this morning.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying.
So I watched most of the first half. The end of the first half was watching me, and the rest of the game was watching me.
Right.
And then I checked back in this morning. So anyhow, what I'm telling you is I actually got a good night's sleep last night.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Next time, try not to for us, apparently. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it just me with one roguish Friday morning exception? Oh, boy, Texter's coming after you, Sid.
Mm-hmm.
Are we all digging the new bumpers you're using on the show since Sid the Kid came on? Wow.
Someone's asking if they're digging them?
Yeah, someone's just essentially implying that you've ruined the show.
Yeah. No, no, no. Somebody said you are bringing the heat. You and Johnny have put together.
Oh, that's how you read it.
Yes.
That's how you interpreted it.
Wait, what was the text?
The text was essentially saying, are we all okay with bringing Gen Z into the morning show?
Yeah.
And what do you have to say to text her?
I mean, they're asking a question, so I guess I'd have to hear from more texters what they think.
I thought that guy was saying he likes the new bumper music.
Yeah. I think the show could use a little bit of youth.
Mm. Yeah. A little youth. What are you trying to say to Mark?
A little youth.
What are you trying
She's
to say
saying
to Mark?
That I'm old.
She's saying that you're old. Yeah, well, it sounds like, based upon that story you just told us, she wouldn't be that far off. Hey, Mark, was that a Freudian slip when you're talking about peanuts or Cracker Jacks?
Right.
You said peanuts a little too quickly.
Yeah, I said it too quickly. No.
That's a little too fast.
Yeah.
All right, I do want to get back to the Nuggets and Avs, but before we get there, I want to talk about this Broncos team. Yesterday, Spencer Rattler joined Up and Adams, Kay Adams, and Spencer said that out of all of the teams that he's interviewed with, one stuck out among the rest.
Probably Denver, you know, with their QB quiz and what they did for the install. It was a pretty cool thing, but definitely had to study up on that, but did a great job with that.
What does a quiz entail? Like questions about like your favorite color, or like questions about like really detailed stuff?
Just offensive stuff, just quarterback stuff, really breaking down their offense, formation, stuff like that.
He's a maniac, that Sean Payton. A maniac.
He knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing.
All right, so Sean Payton, clearly, you looking at draft and develop history.
Right.
Doesn't exist for him. What gives you confidence that he's going to be able to take a younger quarterback and build him up?
Yeah, I think what gives me confidence is, one, what people don't really truly understand about Sean is you go back through New Orleans, through the years, New Orleans, look at how good they've been at running the ball, and look at how much they've invested in both lines of scrimmage. And I think it'll blow you away how many times they've drafted guys, either, you know, third round, Terron Armstead, third rounder, became perennial all-pro left tackle for the New Orleans Saints. Ramczyk, the end of the first round. Then they got the kid, they got the kid to play center. I can't remember his name. They went out and got him in the second round, I believe. They got Ruiz in the first round from Michigan. And then they got a bunch of fourth and fifth round guys that became Pro Bowl players. They have always done a really good job on the line of scrimmage. And then defensively, dude, I watch a lot of film. And over the years, their D-line has always been one of the top D-lines, top sack teams, top run defense teams in football. And so you look at Sean, even when they were an offensive juggernaut, which they've been, they were doing it with receivers like guys like Colston, and they were doing it with guys that were later round guys that developed. I mean, Jimmy Graham was a basketball player that developed in New Orleans as one of the top tier tight ends that we've seen come around. So it just is, they've done a really good job in New Orleans on the draft and develop and really taking care of the line of scrimmage, where I don't think people really give Sean credit for that, because, you know, offensively, Drew Brees has always been able to push the ball down the field.
So that gives you confidence he can develop a quarterback.
Yeah, because what do you have to have a quarterback develop?
Good offensive line, or at least not get the kid killed.
Right, you got to have a good scheme, a good system, and you know, you've got to have your play action game. And one thing, you talk to coordinators around the league, they'll say, "Hey, man, a normal team has three or four screens that you have to prepare for. Sean has 15." Like, so, it's quarterback friendly offense.
And there's just a lot of information, it seems like, to me, though. I mean, when we hear Michael Penix talk about him, and when we hear Spencer Rattler talk about him, what sticks out to me is what Sean said at the Combine when he talked about wanting a processor as one of the key traits in his quarterbacks. He's clearly trying to figure out what these kids can do.
What they know, how quickly they can respond. And again, I always use this analogy. You'll appreciate this. I have, and being that you've been in the radio business for a long time, I have had certain guys that I loved on print. You know, guys that like you want to get on your radio show because they wrote this incredible article,
sure.
right?
Right.
And you're like, man, this guy in print is the best. Like, it just flows. It's great. Then you get him on the radio and he can't string a sentence together. And you're like, wow, that guy is a brilliant dude, a brilliant writer. But when it comes to speaking extemporaneously, he's
wow.
not.
Right. On a Friday.
Yeah.
That word of the day, right. dude wipes. I mean, that's right. paying
exactly.
off.
Exactly.
Extemporaneous.
He's not great.
Sure.
And so there are guys that can answer a lot of questions on a grease board.
Right.
But when all of a sudden, you know, when all of a sudden it's live and the things are flowing, how quickly can you make decisions? How quickly can you discern information, process that information, and make the right decision every time? And Sean's just trying to eliminate guys who aren't fast thinkers.
Right. Yeah, if you can't pass this quiz that I'm about to give you, I mean, you don't have a shot in hell here, basically.
And yes.
Now I wonder, what do you think Sean felt about Russ in that regard? Like, how much over the last year was him trying to figure out what Russ could pick up and what he couldn't?
Yeah, and again, sometimes a guy can talk the language. Guys can, like, there's a lot of guys.
Whiteboard warrior.
Right. There are yeah. a lot of guys who played a long time in the National Football League, especially the backup quarterback position, because they're great in the room. They can answer all the questions. They know all the information. And if you have to play them to get you out of a game, they're not going to screw it up. They're going to be able to spit out the calls. They're going to be able to, you know, they know where to go with the football and all that stuff. But you don't ever want those guys to play for you because they just aren't good. And so what you want to be able to do is you want to find the guy that can not only process in the classroom, but more importantly, process on the field. And so that you're trying to eliminate a guy's inability to if he can't process in the classroom, then he probably can't process on the field. But there are those rare, like, do you ever hear the story about Brett Favre talking to Ty Detmer?
Which story about Brett Favre? I've heard a couple of stories about Brett Favre.
So, Brett Favre talking to Ty Detmer.
Okay.
This is he's been an MVP. And they're sitting in a meeting and, you know, and it's Holmgren, I think it was Holmgren, was the head coach at the time, talking about the nickel and how they're going to get into nickel in this situation. And they're going through all the stuff. The meeting ends. They walk out. He's walking with Ty, and Ty knows everything. Like, Ty knows everything there is to know about football, right?
Okay.
So Brett goes, hey, Ty, let me ask you a question. And he goes, yeah, what? And he goes, what's the nickel? And Ty goes, you're kidding me, right? He goes, no, what the hell's the nickel? And he goes, well, the nickel's when they take the Will linebacker out and substitute him for a safety or a corner in three wides, and they play that kind of weak side linebacker spread out, cover that slot receiver.
Oh, right. I knew that.
No. Brett goes, that's it? He goes, they're still playing with 11 guys, right? He goes, who gives a bleep?
Right. Whether it's just different strokes, man.
Yeah, whether the guy's wearing 51 or whether he's wearing 31, what do I care? It's a body out there.
Mm.
And that's how Brett looked at it. Like, what the hell's the difference? You know? And,
yeah.
And so,
you feel like Russ probably had a little bit of that mentality, though.
Well, I think Russ can speak the language. I don't think he has any issue speaking language. I just think there's certain things he doesn't see or he doesn't process.
When you start speeding up that clock, right?
Right. And there's certain throws that he just doesn't. Like, this just comes from, hey, man, I've talked to every coordinator that coached him in Seattle. I've talked to everybody. This is just not only what I see on film, but what has been told to me over the years about your ability to get through a progression. And how is there certain routes in Seattle, they just eliminated the routes from the route concept, like first day install routes that say he just won't throw this. He just does not. He doesn't feel it. He doesn't anticipate it breaking open. He wants to see it open before he throws it. And so there's certain routes and route combinations that I know this for a fact. Seattle just eliminated from their playbook. Do you know how hard it is, it's a testament to Pete Carroll and his staff, how hard it is to be good when that's what you're doing? You're saying, hey, man, we're going to eliminate these, you know, this section of plays because our quarterback doesn't see it, doesn't feel it, doesn't throw it. And there's every one of us as players have certain things we don't like. Certain plays, like when it gets called in the huddle, I'm like, ugh, I hate this play. Mm.
Yeah, I got you.
There's certain things we don't like.
Yeah.
But, man, you're giving up, if a team is playing a certain, if a team is playing a certain, cover, a cover two or something, and you can expose or a cover three, and you can expose a hole on a dig,
You're doing so well with the words earlier.
Yeah, and you've got this hole that you can take advantage of, and they're playing a certain coverage, but your quarterback doesn't see it. It would have to be incredibly frustrating as a play caller to go, dude, that is wide open all day long, and we haven't hit it, and we can't throw it.
Frustrating,
that's the issue.
Frustrating enough to the point where when that guy comes off the field, you have no problem giving him a piece of your mind. And we saw that several different times from Sean Payton this year.
And I don't think that's how I was coached my whole life.
Sure.
So I don't have any problem with that.
No. I mean, look, this is professional football. I mean, like you said, we're not mama catting anybody around here anymore.
Yeah, when I hear guys, and I mean, it's former quarterbacks are on TV now admonishing Sean for yelling. You can't, you can't, baloney. You guys are soft.
This KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. I want